all of this is pointing toward a moment where esports is becoming more and more legitimized on college campuses as a viable form of intercollegiate organized competition. Hello everyone, and welcome to the first episode of CESN's The 101, the podcast where we bring you the top stories from the world of collegiate esports. I'm your host, Milmod, and I'm excited to take a look at what's been happening. On this episode, we cover six-figure donations, athletic conferences becoming involved in esports, Maryville's new League of Legends lineup, and even more. Stay tuned. So to kick this off, I think we start with one of the biggest stories in collegiate esports in general, and that's the continued expansion of support for programs on campuses across the country. We know that esports are growing in colleges, be it through official athletic programs, club teams, official clubs, or even unofficial student-run organizations. Either way, it's growing fast. But with a lot of what we're seeing and covering today, there's an increasing amount of support in some extremely important ways, all of which contribute to the overall increasing legitimacy of collegiate esports in the mind of administrations, alumni, the general public, and the student body at large that will serve to accelerate the growth of collegiate esports. And I think the best way to sum up the support is the money. Follow the money. As collegiate esports continue to develop, as more and more schools add collegiate esports, as the best teams and the best schools, these programs distinguish themselves, there's going to be more competition for students. So it will start to come down to things like institutional support, scholarships, and all of those kind of things. So the first story to mention falls along those lines, and that's the University of North Texas announcing $20,000 in esports scholarships. UNT became the first public university in Texas to offer esports scholarships, specifically in Overwatch, League of Legends, Hearthstone, and Rocket League. And they hope those scholarships will not only support their current student competitors, but also to attract new students to help maintain the university's competitive edge. UNT has been successful making the round of 32 in the playoffs for Overwatch and the quarterfinals for Heroes of the Storm in the most recent TESPA season. This is part of their plan to build on that success going into the next few years. They're not alone in Texas. In Texas, there's been quite a bit of support for collegiate-level esports, and we have another great story coming from the University of Texas at Dallas. UTD recently received a $100,000 donation to support their esports program, specifically when it comes to their arena and practice facility. It's great to see that money going for something like that because it does really present a competitive edge against a lot of other schools that may have teams but lack the institutional desire to put in the kind of funds required to have a world-class facility. And we've seen something similar in Missouri at Mizzou, where an anonymous donor gave $130,000 to support their brand new collegiate esports program and team that's going to be rolling out in this fall and into the spring. So, I mean, that's a big school, obviously an SEC school, traditional athletics, very big, football, very big. So to have an alumni, presumably, donate $130,000 to support transportation to events, facilities, gear, all of those kind of things that the team needs functionally to be able to compete at a high level, to augment the recruiting process and resources that the institution's putting in, that's going to be huge and going a long way to bringing in some of the best talent, high caliber students and players to want to participate, want to be on this team, make recruitment easier. So that's very exciting as well. So big congrats to Kevin Reap and you know, the program that he's working on there. So now to shift gears just a little bit, not a lot. There's been a couple developments when it comes to traditional athletic conferences becoming involved in esports. And I think a lot of that originates with Riot and what they did when it comes to allowing these independent traditional athletic conferences to participate in College League of Legends and integrate into the larger organizational structure after the conferences hold their own regular season and conference championships, where the top schools from those independent conferences then feed into either the League of Legends play-in, the college play-in, or the college championship bracket, depending on the caliber of schools and teams in that conference compared to the other Riot-administered conferences. So we see the Peach Belt. It's one of the conferences participating in College League of Legends that's based out of the Southeast United States. They just announced recently that four additional institutions will be joining Peach Belt as associate members for esports in the 2019-2020 season. And this is the thing about esports that's just kind of really interesting, is that, you know, you have a traditionally Southeastern conference that now is going to have Alma College from Michigan, Hawaii Pacific University in Hawaii, the University of Montevallo, and Coker College in Alabama and South Carolina, respectively. But to be able to have a school in Hawaii join a conference based out of the Southeastern United States, I mean, that's something that just can't happen in traditional sports. And then in a similar vein, we have the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, the MAAC, announcing that they're launching an esports league and conference championship for the 2019-2020 season. They'd been co-sponsoring events with the ECAC, the Eastern College Athletic Conference, including the HV Gamer Con in Albany, New York in 2019. But now they're going to be doing their own esports league and their own esports conference championship. And this makes them the most recent Division I conference to hold esports competition. They're one of the, quote, mid-majors. They're, you know, right below, like, your top Division I conferences when it comes to Division I basketball. So they're a big conference. They're a successful conference in Division I. They have all these resources, and they're looking to add esports and to put those resources toward that. So I think when you're looking at this, the Peach Belt, the MAAC, what Riot's doing with their own governing body for League of Legends, the addition of more scholarships from the colleges themselves, these donations from alumni, all of this is pointing toward a moment where collegiate esports is becoming more and more legitimized on college campuses as a viable form of intercollegiate organized competition. And I think that when you have organized competition where competitors practice and work under the guidance of a coach with a team, really work on their mechanics, ability, things like that, for the express purpose of competing in organized play, I think that that is at the heart of what conferences and collegiate athletics in general, their mission. So we're at the point, I think, where collegiate esports is aligning with that mission. And we're seeing, as that congruence is reached, the additional resources and support pile in. So now this is going to just continue to snowball the presence of collegiate esports on college campuses nationwide. And last but not least, I want to briefly touch on Maryville's announcement of their 2019-2020 League of Legends roster. And just the best way to put it is that it's very stacked. This is a team that's going to be coming in to defend their national championship title with just a powerhouse stable of players. Definitely something I'm looking forward to. We're going to cover that more in the upcoming Rift University podcast episode from CESN. In the meantime, you can check out the article where we break down those roster changes, who came on, what their backgrounds are, who left, and those kind of things. It's on our website. I'll be sure to put a link in the show notes. And that's it for this episode of The 101. Thank you again for joining me. I'm your host, Milmod. You can find all of CESN's content at our website, cesn.gg. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CESNGG. And if you like our content and want to see more of it, please consider becoming a patron of CESN on our Patreon, and I'll be sure to link that in the show notes.